والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين سئل ما الإحسان؟ قال: أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث جبرائيل. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the controller, nourisher and sustainer of all the universes, may the peace and salutations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our most beloved master, our teacher and our guide, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the ayah I recited before you, it is an ayah that we hear quite often in the khutbah. Every Jumu'ah, at the end of the second khutbah, the Imam or the Khatib reads this particular ayah. And this particular ayah, according to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala alayhi, who is the mufassir and one of the greatest mufassirs of the Quran, he said that in the entire Quran, this particular verse is the most comprehensible verse. If a person just has this verse in his life, it will suffice for him from being saved from Jahannam and getting entry into Jannah. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do three things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents us from doing three things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do justice, to do excellence, and to give your relatives their due. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents us from doing three things. And those three things are fahsha, shamelessness, munkar, disobedience, and baghi, which is oppression and rebellion. There was a person who became a sahabi later on, named Akhtam bin Abi Saif. He was a leader of his people, and he wanted to go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to find out about this new religion. So his people told him, you are the leader, it doesn't befit you to go, so send some people on behalf of you. So he sent two people, and he sent them with two questions. They said, I only want you to find out two questions from this person by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ask him, man anta, who are you, and ma anta, what are you? So when these people came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam answered the first question, and he said, ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I am Muhammad bin Abdullah. And to answer your second question, I am the messenger and the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stop there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. And the people told him, recite it for us again and again until they committed it to memory. And when they went back to Akhtam, they told him, he answered the first question by just saying his name and his father's name. So he said, yes, I just wanted to know what his lineage was. He didn't have pride over his lineage and say it up to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He just sufficed with his father's name. But I've checked his knowledge, and he's got the most outstanding and the highest ranking lineage a person can have. Then when they recited this ayah to him, then he told them to recite it again, and then he turned to his people and he said, this person only brings goodness with him, and he is preventing you from shameless acts. Follow him and accept his message before a punishment will befall you. And his entire tribe, him included, became Muslim. On this very ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, that Allah commands you with justice, with excellence, and with giving your family their due. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids you from shameless acts, disobedience and oppression. to take these six commands and just break it down a little bit to get a deeper understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually commanding us in these six commands. The first is justice. And the meaning of justice is to give something its due importance. For example, going against justice will be sitting on top of a food table. That is injustice. Because a food table is meant for food and not to sit on, or not for your feet. That is against justice. So giving something its proper due position, this is justice. And the greatest justice that a person needs to exercise is the justice of Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. He has no partners. He is on a rank of his own. We give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that justice by giving him his due position, by testifying the fact that la ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And the second part of the kalima, undoubtedly, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his due position in the sharia. The sharia cannot be complete only on the Quran al-Kareem. It needs the sunnah and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to complete it. This justice doesn't only refer to the justice with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but justice with regards to fellow human beings. Starting off obviously with one's parents, with one's siblings, with one's family members, with one ustad, giving them the due right, giving them the due position that they deserve. The second command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is that of ihsan. Ihsan literally translates as excellence. As excellence. They say a soldier gets a salary for doing his job, but gets a medal for doing over and above that. Like a person in a business, this is a financial year end, he's going to sit and he's going to say the next year, how can I improve my business? So ihsan simply means that how can I improve my deen? How can I improve my jannah? How can I improve my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Once Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and posed a whole lot of questions to him. And one of the questions Jibreel posed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Mal ihsan? What is ihsan? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, An ta'abud Allah ka annaka tara. That worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if though you are seeing him. But our iman is not so strong like that of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the sahaba. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. But if you can't visualize the fact that you are seeing, that you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then be sure of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. In every action we do, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Not only in ibadah, but the daily running of our lives, know well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in different places of the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Do you not know that Allah is watching you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah is closer to us but we do not see him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. I am closer to a servant than his own jugular veins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. So my beloved elders and brothers, mothers and sisters at home, why should we have any sadness in our hearts if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us? Why should we have any anxiety in our hearts because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us? Let us bring the yaqeen that Allah is with us. And Allah is there to solve our problems because Allah loves us. We are very fortunate that we worship Allah, a God that cares about us. Other people are worshipping stones that they created. We are worshipping an Allah who is looking at us and observing us and is with us at every given moment of our lives. And let us ask ourselves a question. How can I sin when Allah is with me? The next command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is that of giving our family. Islam places great emphasis on the family structure, which is the basis of society. They say the root to the heart is through the belly. So give your family members that are less fortunate than you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised for that a double reward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one is to give sadaqah, but one is to give sadaqah to your family members. Why? You get double reward. One, you giving for giving sadaqah, and the second reward is for bonding family ties. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also with regards to family ties, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sil man qata'ak, make family ties with those that break family ties with you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to family ties in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ, and give your family members their right. It is not from your own side that you want to give them. It is your responsibility and their right over you that you give your less fortunate family members from your wealth. And that also only doesn't stop at wealth. It means visiting them, consoling them, and being there for them in times of happiness and joy. With regards to the three prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in this very comprehensive ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ. Number one, fahsha. Fahsha literally translates as immodesty and shamelessness. Haya is a shu'batum min al-iman. Haya is a branch from the branches of iman. And when iman, when haya leaves a person, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَاءُ فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. When modesty and shamelessness, shamefulness leaves a person, then do as you wish. There is no hope for that person. Unfortunately, in our lives today, in the society we are living today, the shamelessness is impressed upon us, where we just have to drive down the road and we'll see a billboard that doesn't appeal to the conscious. We have TVs in our homes and we switch it on, even if it's the news or the sports channel, whatever it is bringing rudeness into our lives. Our children are given free access to the internet, unkept Wi-Fi at home. They have tablets and phones of their own. What shamelessness is coming into the lives of people? What immodesty and rudeness is coming into the lives of this ummah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only prohibit the action itself, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits the action that leads to the main action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ. Don't even go close to it. So the avenue that's opening the door to the shamelessness and immorality, close that door first and don't attend to that door. We know what is happening this weekend, a World Cup. They call it the World Cup of all rave events. Ultra 2016 is happening in Johannesburg and Cape Town, where it is a place of filth, of satanic worship, of drugs, of alcoholism, which is going to lead a person to fornication and immorality and shamelessness. Know where our children are this weekend. Be with them and protect them. Save ourselves and save them from attending such gatherings. And let us not ourselves attend such gatherings, because one thing is going to lead to the next. And unfortunately, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make us sit back and realize that now it is too late in my life or in my child's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The second thing Allah prohibits us from is munkar. Munkar is all types of disobedience which links to the previous one as well, which is fahsha. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought fahsha on its own to say what an evil type of disobedience it is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings munkar as a general type of disobedience that we can do. And with regards to this, if we have to look at it at a different angle, not only from the angle of the obedience unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that we have not sent down a messenger except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed you to follow that messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, whoever follows the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed followed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. O you who believe, be obedient and not disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop there, because our kalima doesn't stop there. It's لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. So together with following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ, and follow the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is not a buffet. Islam is not a buffet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, udukhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter into this pure, pristine deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only at the entrance, but enter into it in totality. And the totality of the deen goes hand in hand with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why is it that we are picking and choosing of what laws of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we want to follow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. In actual fact, whatever came out from the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't his words only. Was indeed revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only difference between the hadith, which is the sunnah, and the Quran al-Kareem, was that the Quran al-Kareem is the direct speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hadith is an expressed words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not make Islam a buffet that we're going to pick and choose what laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we want to accept and which we do not want to accept. Accept all the laws and every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to be successful. Time is up, but the last prohibition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this very beautiful verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah prohibits you from baghi. Baghi is oppression. Baghi is rebellion. Baghi is crossing the limits and transgression. As I said, all these prohibitions fall into the central one of munkar, which is disobedience. But they have been placed in different categories for purposes of our understanding. So to recap, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that we'll read every day in the khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرُبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you with three things: justice, excellence, and giving your family members the due right. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْءِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you from three things, which is shamefulness, disobedience, and transgressing the laws and the limits of the sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and you the understanding of practicing upon whatever has been said. There are three announcements. The first is that there's been a plea from the sector police